Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Campionato di calcio italiano.
Hello everybody and welcome to the midweek episode of the Forza Italian Football Podcast. It is me, your host, Dov. Obviously, this is the midweek show, so there's no Connor Clancy, no Vito or any of the other people that partake on Monday's episode. But I'm not alone. I have got Mr. Padraig Whelan coming to me live from the Paddy Shack. Padraig, how are you?
I'm good, Dov. Yeah, I'm happy enough. We got two out of the three teams through this week in Serie A, so we could have asked for a little bit better, but overall I think we're happy enough, aren't we?
Aye, we can't. It's not bad. It's not bad at all. Three out of four. And to be fair, the team that did exit the competition, you didn't really expect him to go through anyway, so it's fine.
Robbed of.
Well, we shall come into that later. Roma... We'll do the Champions League first. That was Wednesday, so that was the first game of the three that we're going to talk about. They beat Shakhtar Donetsk 1-0 on the night, and it meant they went through on away goals because obviously they were defeated 2-1 away from home. So that away goal in the Ukraine was enough to get them through. Big Edin Dzeko scored just after half time. Lovely finish as well. First off, do you think they deserved it?
Yeah, Dov, I think they did. I quite fancied our chances, actually, coming back from the away game. I thought it had been a bit of a smash and grab in the Ukraine from Shakhtar. And I know Alisson made some good saves and there was a good block on the line over there, but you kind of felt it was one that Roma had probably got away from them and that they were coming back to Rome, knowing as they did, and as it turned out, they only needed the one goal to get through. I did quite fancy their chances. Now, they probably did make it a little difficult on themselves at times, but I thought, like, over the whole game, they defended fairly comfortably. There's usually an Alisson wonder save or four in a game these days, the way he seems to be playing. He's, you know, he's getting so much plaudits lately and he deserves it, but there wasn't really any of that in the home game. And Roma, they were kind of on the front foot straight away, and Shakhtar, whenever they did counter, I was never really too concerned about Roma, and that's not something you can always say about them defensively, but I think over the course of the whole game they were pretty comfortable, and when the chance came, and it was always coming, actually, the way it's Shakhtar's defence, it was suicidally high from the first minute, and I think it was only a matter of time before Roma got in behind, and when they did, the big man just made the most of his chance, and yeah, I think he deserved to go through overall.
Well, Shakhtar didn't even get a shot on target, so in the game, so that kind of tells you everything.
Can't have Alisson inflating his price tag without having any saves to make. It's a shame.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Edin Dzeko was the guy that obviously got the goal, and he was the one that obviously looked the most dangerous for. for Roma. Do you think because they had a little bit of dip there just kind of during January and the beginning of February, kind of when there was all the transfer speculation, do you think that kind of now that obviously that transfer to Chelsea didn't go through is kind of that's maybe like settled him down a wee bit and he can get back onto the kind of get his head into playing football, yeah, back scoring goals?
Yeah, that's exactly what I actually think it was. I think it pretty much just come down to that there was so much uncertainty around him in January. You know, at one stage it seemed as if he was all but gone, and then a few days later he was definitely staying, and then a few days after that it seemed like all the transfers back on again. So, you know, it can't have been easy for him throughout the month. He didn't really know where he was going, and he did say after the game that ultimately when it came down to making the decision, that the reason he stayed was because he wanted these big Champions League nights in Rome. And you know, the way it's turned out, Chelsea are out of the Champions League and Roma are still in it in the quarterfinals. So he's got another one more at least big European night left in Rome. But I do think he's going to recover his best form now. I think that kind of around January, as you said, that the speculation didn't help him. And you could see it on the pitch, but he played well in the Ukraine. I thought he did really well for the goal there, and he worked hard throughout that game, and then he made the most of the chance that came his way in the home game. So I think we will start to see the best of him again.
I think the thing that impressed me the most, because the performance wasn't really a kind of typical Roma performance, if you like, because it was they were really solid defensively. Like Manolas and Fazio at the back were fantastic. Manolas in particular, like, I don't think he did anything wrong the entire game. I think there was maybe one or two times Fazio kind of made any errors. And I think that's something that you'd maybe more associate with Juventus, or just kind of being completely and utterly solid at the back, not giving anything away, and then getting a cheeky 1-0 and going through on away goals.
That's spot on. I think if you were watching that game and it was black and white jerseys on the Roma players, you really wouldn't have been surprised, because it was pretty much the quintessential Juve performance. They were solid defensively throughout. They were organised really well. Maybe they didn't create a whole lot themselves during the game, but you know what? When the chance came their way, they took it. That's a great point. That it was like watching Juve at their best, and it isn't something we see a lot from Roma. But I think they were always comfortable during the game. Like I wasn't watching it and was never overly concerned about them, or kind of thinking, oh, one goal kind of puts them out here, which obviously it did, but they were never living dangerously enough. I didn't think that they were going to concede that goal.
Which is another un-Roma point, because you always kind of expect Roma, they're kind of one of those teams that are like a bit like Scotland and kind of like that glorious failure. Like they almost get there and it never happens. But this time it was kind of almost like the perfect performance in terms of getting a good goal, perfect at the back, not giving anything away, and just making sure they did what needed to be done. So there you go.
Yeah, Di Francesco for Scotland, though.
Well, they need somebody, let's be honest. anybody will do it. Alex McLeish is not the way forward. Right, so there you go. That's Roma. Well done, Roma. Fantastic. One of the best 8 teams in Europe. #official. Right. So, Thursday night saw some Europa League action. The two Italian teams left were obviously Milan and Lazio. Let's start with Lazio, because they were going into the game against Dinamo Kiev after having drawn 2-2 at the Stadio Olimpico. So that looked like it was going to be a lot trickier for Simone Inzaghi's men, and they were maybe going to have a bit of a tough time of it. In Kiev. However, they didn't really. Big Lucas Leiva stepped up for his, I think, second goal of the season, and Stefan de Vrij got the other one just before the end. The 1-2-0, 4-2 in aggregate. Lucas Leiva was amazing. He's
immense
stuff.
Yeah.
You've got a guy who's come in as kind of what looks like on paper is like a poor man's Lucas Bilia. He's done fantastically well all season, and then kind of you go to Kiev, which isn't an easy place to go, and he just puts in an amazing performance like that.
Yeah, and I actually thought at the start of the season that was a bit of a gamble. I hadn't seen a lot of Lucas Leiva at Liverpool. I'm not even sure most people did. I don't think he was really a regular on the team, and you know, when somebody like that kind of comes, you can be maybe concerned about if their legs are that or passing or whatever, but he just showed, like, the experience that he has. He's a real leader, like, and filled in the void for Lucas Bedia brilliantly. They really don't miss him in that midfield now whatsoever. They're probably actually delighted with how things have turned out. You could argue they've maybe got an upgrade on him and got good money back for Bedia. So, I mean, you see that compared to maybe, you know, like another signing they made, like Nani in the summer, who that really hasn't worked out. Seeing that these can be risks, but he's really panned out. I thought he was brilliant in Kiev for them. And, you know, when you've got him in that midfield and the likes of Parolo around him, like, I'm still a big fan of Marco Parolo, I think he's quite underrated, then, you know, most teams are going to struggle against him in the heart of that action. And I don't think there's many teams left in that competition that they'll fear, bar possibly Atletico Madrid.
No, I think you're right. And they've got kind of like defensively, they've got players that can kind of step up when needs to be. Adam Mrsic is I think a really good player, and obviously Stefan Radu's got the experience, and I think De Vrij is one of the best central defenders you're going to find.
It's just a shame for them that they're actually, when they do lose him, that they're not going to make any money off him, because you could imagine the money that he should actually command for them if they were going to get a fee for him. It's criminal that he's going to walk away for nothing, because, like you said, he's one of the best centre backs in Europe, and they're hard to come by.
Yeah, exactly. And the other couple of players I do want to mention is Luis Alberto. I thought again. He obviously assisted Lucas Leiva's goal, but he's been another one. You didn't expect anything from him when he came in the summer, and he's been, as the Times would say, a protagonista, a guy to get one of the go-to guys for Lazio this season. He's been amazing.
Yeah, these ex-Liverpool guys, though, keep doubting them. Maybe they'll get Emre Can in the summer. They'll steal him from under Juve's noses, and he'll slot right in as well.
There you go. And I obviously, kind of maybe the one kind of blot on the sheet in Kiev was Ciro Immobile, who wasn't kind of really up to much. It was kind of there and thereabouts, but didn't really do too much in the end. Do you think that because Lazio rely on him so much, and the replacement is Casiero, who's garbage, that maybe kind of playing two games a week is maybe too much for him?
Yeah, could be. I probably wasn't his worst performance. Didn't really maybe get too many chances. Yeah, during the game. I suppose it could be. It could be that they do rely on him. And like you said, Inzaghi, he literally does have to rely on Immobile every week, because any time you see Caicedo come on, or like some games, he is given his chance from the start, and Immobile is rested, and Lazio just aren't the same team. They are just not the same team at all without Immobile up there. They've not got that movement in behind. They've not got somebody in there that they just know. Just feed him the ball anywhere around the box, or even on the edge of the box with his back to the goal, and he'll still manage to pull a cat out of the hat, if that's the expression. I can't even, what is that, a movie?
The Cat in the Hat. It could be a new one. You're pulling a cat out of the hat. That could work.
Yeah, that's how good he is. He can pull a cat out of a hat. But Caicedo certainly can't. So that's probably a fair point, that they really don't have that backup, and that'll be something that they'll have to address in the summer.
Indeed. Right. And all that, I just want to, before we move on to the little controversial game at the Emirates Stadium, big Simone Inzaghi is doing wonders with that team. Absolute, almost, I'm tempted to say, genius of a manager. He's got his team to the quarterfinals of the Europa League, won the Super Cup early in the season, and is still in the hunt for Champions League football in Serie A. So well done.
He's finally overshining his brother.
He's a much better coach than his brother. It's as simple as that.
Well, that's it. It was their playing career. It was kind of, I'm better than you. I'm better than you, people.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah. Well, maybe I didn't score as many goals, but I can coach better than you. So there you go. Have some of that. Right, and then the last game we shall talk about was Arsenal versus AC Milan. This was 3-1 to Arsenal, and it was not without controversy. Hakan Çalhanoğlu scored after 35 minutes. It looked like, we thought, right, here it is, it's on, the comeback is on. And then literally 4 minutes later, Danny Welbeck felt a touch on the side of his arm, at what shoulder looked like, and just tumbled over. And the referee, who Mr. Eriksson from Sweden, Jonas Eriksson is his name, everybody. Jonas Eriksson from Sweden decided to point to the bloody penalty spot. And then Xhaka scored after Donnarumma made a mistake, and Welbeck scored right at the end, which Milan had given up by then. But right, Paddy, what on earth is this referee thinking about? Because, right, Rodriguez put his arm out and he did touch his shoulder, and Welbeck like looked like he was competing in the bloody like 6 meter Olympic diving competition by the way he went down. How?
It's not even the referee, it's the officials behind the goal is so close to that. And I think at first the referee, he did seem to hesitate at first and he didn't know if he was going to give it, and then I don't know if maybe he got the consultation from one of the assistants, but oh, unbelievable. Especially like you said, Milan had just scored, it was just game on, you were kind of right, here we go, they can push on. And you know the way Arsenal have been in recent weeks, things could really get sticky for them if they hadn't been able to maybe pull one back before half time and Milan had kept pushing forward, because they had played well up to that point. But that, oh, just an unbelievable decision, and it just killed them. Just there was no coming back after that.
Exactly. I mean, it's baffling. I mean, and obviously, kind of you did the press conference from Guttuso, and like, we would have, like, I certainly expected Guttuso to go off his head, but he didn't.
Yeah, I was really surprised at that. I was expecting you had the referees getting that wrong. You had Welbeck even like having the audacity to try that and getting away with it, and then you'd Donnarumma make mistakes. You're like, oh, this is going to be prime Marino, the pit bull let loose here. But yeah, he wasn't really. He kind of just, he didn't blame Welbeck. He didn't really blame the officials. He didn't want to blame Donnarumma for his mistake either. He said that he thinks he's kind of been distracted by all the Pepe Reina speculation. He kind of gave him a pass for that, which I'm not too sure he was thinking about his future while Xhaka hits a pretty tame shot at him. But yeah, I think he was more annoyed at the way his team kind of gave up in the second half as the game got away from them, which I don't know if you can really blame them for. They were kind of demoralised by that point. They knew the combat wasn't really on. But yeah,
a bit of an experience, would you say then? Kind of Arsenal, obviously, they're basically in Europe every season, but a lot of these players, not really there a lot.
Yeah, that's probably a good choice. And I think Arsenal are a better team than Milan as well. And over the two legs, I'm not surprised to see them go through, but it was just the way that it happened. It was just a shame. It seemed just to be taken away from Milan as well. But a disappointing night for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, the first leg could have screwed them over anyway, because they were terrible in the first leg and they deserved to get beat in it. So, I mean, if they'd maybe performed a bit better in the first leg, they wouldn't have been in kind of such a dire situation.
Yeah, that position,
In London, I mean, I think, to be honest, it's a bit of a reality check for them, because obviously, since Gattuso's taken over, they've done fantastically well. Kind of, and the only two defeats they've had in 2018 have been against Arsenal in the two games. And I think that kind of maybe would kind of tell the club and Gattuso and Fassoni and Mirabelli is like, right, okay, well, you've kind of improved a little bit on where you were, but you're still nowhere near where you need to be, and especially nowhere near where you want to be either.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah, that's probably concerning as well, that, you know, you're kind of at this stage of the season and Lazio are in a Europa League quarter-final, Roma and Juve, well, obviously Milan are in the Champions League, but Roma and Juve have gone far in that competition. But the fact that Lazio are in a Europa League quarter-final, and I know it's the luck of the draw sometimes as well, but Milan should be looking at that and going, well, the money we've spent compared to them, and as you said, you rightly gave Inzaghi a lot of praise, and I think he's definitely a better coach than Gattuso, and maybe if he was at Milan, things could perhaps be different. They've already had one Inzaghi on the bench, maybe.
Tried the ball. It's going through families of football to see which one works.
To try them out. But I think you're right that they're nowhere near where they should be given the money that they've spent. I suppose even Montella is in a Champions League quarter final. And at the start of the season, if you'd have said Montella would get to a European quarter final, I think Milan fans would have been rubbing their hands, but it's just strange the way football works out. But they are still a long way off. I think they do really need to decide in the summer whether they're going to commit to Gattuso going forward. I don't know if they will or necessarily they should. But
I think that just depends on Champions League. If he gets into the Champions League, then you cannot give him the job.
Yeah, you probably have to give him. Yeah.
Which
give him the opportunity could, that he's
could
earned.
Could be a good thing. Yeah, it could be a good thing. Could be a bad thing. Donnarumma, Gattuso didn't criticise him after the game. I think he deserves some criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was even a shot in the first half. I think it was Ramsey. It might have been had a shot from distance, and or it could have been Wilshere, and he parried it into a poor area as well. It was almost the same thing. It didn't quite squirm away from the way that the Xhaka one did, but you were even watching that and going, he should have been doing a lot better with that. He managed to scramble the one in the first half and make the save, but the goal was a disaster. You saw the angle from the ball as
from
the ball
whence
from behind
it came.
Yeah, from whence it came towards him. And like he's watching it all the way and he's prepared for it. I still don't quite see how he managed to let it get away from him. I'm certainly not buying Gattuso's excuse that he's been distracted by all the transfer talk.
It's like he's had transfer talk all bloody year.
Last summer, and he's probably brought it on himself a bit as well. Although that, or certainly his agent has. But
thing is about him, right, because obviously all Milan fans will sit and hype him up, and generally Italian football fans hype him up or pretend he's the next Gianluigi Buffon. He's not. And it's something I find is kind of more becoming more and more common in his game, as like an absolute howler. Mm-hmm. Like not just a wee mistake that kind of doesn't really do anything, but like there's something that has happened more and more this season where he's just made complete and utter like blunders that have cost goals.
I really don't want to agree with that, because like last summer I was like so high on him, and the more the season's gone on, the more I've kind of, to be honest, I've come around to that point of view as well, that I'm kind of just looking at him now and going, he's just not progressed, or he's probably not the kind of as far on in his development as I thought that he was. You see some of the mistakes that you said that he makes, and I was kind of expecting a lot better from him, because last summer, like I said, I think I was as high on him as most people, and I probably would have been banging that drum that, no, if there's anyone that's going to fill the gloves of Buffon, it's going to be him. But you kind of be having second thoughts about that now, because it is something that's crept into his game, and I don't know, you can't really blame it on a poor defence. Like, that was kind of the excuse from when he first broke into the team, that it was a poor defence around him,
and
he's a young goalkeeper. And, yeah, but I don't know.
He's still a young goalkeeper, that's the thing.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, obviously, this has happened a lot in Italian football. You've got a young keeper, maybe not as young as Donnarumma, but a youngish keeper that will break through and be touted as the next best big thing. get chucked into the number one spot. A few mistakes creep in, things don't go your way, and before you know it, you're chucked on the scrap heap. I don't think that's going to happen with Donnarumma, because I think there's far too much hype around him, and Mino Raiola will make sure he gets a move somewhere, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, right. We have had it with Simone Scuffé when he was at Udinese and he broke through and he was the next. You're right, you do see it so much in Italian football.
Even before that, Aliardi, or I think at Roma, he broke through, and even Perrin to an extent, but I mean, he's more been hampered with injury more than anything.
And all the problems.
Yeah, exactly. And the drink driving. Yeah, but obviously, I hope he does well. I don't want him to do well, but I think we need to calm down on the Donnarumma hype and hope that our help, or well, we can't help him improve, but like hope he'd rather get his head kind of stuck down and improve. And
who knows, maybe the best thing for him, like, I don't know, like, do you think the best thing for him would be maybe just to get out of that environment and go, I don't know whether he'd end up at a PSG, or he's not going to end up at Real Madrid or something like that, like people were saying last summer, but do you think it would be the best thing for him to get away from him?
Honestly, I think now, like Milan with Gattuso and the way he's molded in the club now, I think it'd be best to stay at Milan because he needs to play first and foremost, and all the players seem to be like over the moon at the way Gattuso is doing things in terms of training, in terms of kind of camaraderie and team spirit and stuff like that. And I think that's more what Donnarumma needs. Obviously, there'll be coaches there that'll be able to help Donnarumma and improve him. What I would say maybe it doesn't need is this constant speculation. Like, I kind of agree a bit with what Gattuso says, is that he needs to commit and stay committed and just be like, no, I'm staying, that's the end of story. Or he needs to go, and then end of story. But I think this kind of looked like it was going to be on his way. If Milan get the Champions League, will he stay? What about Pepe Reina? Is he going to be? Because I think he's getting $3 million a year in wages. That's a lot of money for a backup goalkeeper. So it kind of doesn't tie up. I honestly think he needs to be somewhere, and he seems like he's the type of guy. He's like, from all accounts, he's shy. He's not kind of like a Balotelli type, or where he wants to kind of flaunt his status. He's quite a shy, quiet person. So I think he needs a coach who'll give him an arm around the shoulder. And I think Gattuso can do that. Like, obviously, he comes across like an angry man, but I think when it needs to be, he can be that kind of arm around the shoulder guy as well, but also give you a kick up the backside if you need it.
Yeah.
So you go, right. And then, like, last thing on Milan before I go, striking problems. They've got problems scoring. Andre Silva had that chance right at the start. Score that, then we've got a game on straight away. But then after that chance, he kind of went, disappeared. Cutrone,
he kind of shinned it. It was a decent enough chance. He kind of, I don't know, maybe it was a bit behind him, but yeah, he was the same.
And yeah, did nothing else. And then Kalinic came on, a header that really he was never going to score with anyway. And then that was it. It's just kind of like the Milan seemed to have a striking problem that has maybe been papered over, or Cutrone's kind of emergence has papered over a lot of cracks.
Yeah, I think that they've done well out of Cutrone that he's emerged, because for the money that was spent on Silva, and I know that Fassoni and Mirabelli have kind of tried to hide behind that now and say, oh, he was always an option for next year, but the guy had been playing week in, week out for Porto, and he was in Portuguese squads and stuff like that, and a lot of money was spent. Like, that's kind of a lot to spend on a guy you're going to say is a project and is for the future. I'm surprised. I think they probably did, and they won't admit it, but they had higher hopes that he'd maybe hit the ground running. It's kind of not happened so much for him. Kalinic is just a bizarre one, because
Kalinic is just rubbish.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, though. He was no, for maybe a lot of Serie A fans, like for me, I know that Silva was a bit of an unknown commodity, but you knew what you were getting with Kalinic. You knew that he wasn't worth the kind of investment that he'd made in him. And unfortunately, he's proven it. Like, most chances he's getting,
He's been worse than it. That's the thing. He's been, like, you'd maybe expect to get like 10-15 goals out of him, like, over across the season of all competitions. He's not even, he's probably not even going to get in double figures across all competitions, which is terrible.
Yeah, but was it when he first came to Fiorentina? Did he have one game? He scored four at the San Siro against Inter. He either scored four or he scored a hat trick.
Yeah, he scored four.
And you saw him thinking, oh, who's this new guy? Like, but that was, I think that was as good as it got, or as maybe ever going to get for him in Serie A. He's just, he works hard, and you have to credit him for that. I think he does. He's good movement and that kind of thing, and he links up well. But he's just not a goal scorer at all. And the problem you touched on earlier was that they just need to. They need someone who's just going to make the most of these chances, because they've got guys, you know, that can play some really good passes. You've got Suso and Çalhanoğlu and guys like Bonaventura in there who can really pick a pass and who can open a defence up. But when you're kind of relying on Cutrone from the youth team to be making the most of it, then
you're problems.
But I don't really kind of want to be saying, oh, they need to go out and buy in the summer, because that's exactly what they did last summer. They went out and they bought and spent a lot of money on two strikers, and I think it's the guy from the youth team that's being relied on.
There you go. Right, so Milan out of the Europa League, right? So let's get back to the Champions League. The quarterfinal draw is on Friday at 12 o'clock Central European time. So by the time most people listen to this, it'll be finished. So we'll just touch on it quickly. Dream draw, I think, for Roma. Sevilla, I think that'd be a dream draw for kind of pretty much anybody, right?
Yeah.
Juve and Roma. Sevilla's the team that everybody wants.
Especially for Roma, I think we were saying it earlier, it kind of, all the stories kind of write themselves, don't they, for it? You've Monchi,
yeah.
Montella. Yeah, exactly. It's, as you said, sometimes in football, these things kind of, they're almost meant to be, and you know, hopefully that's the way it pans out. Not just for those storylines, but Sevilla they didn't impress me against Man United at all. I think Man United, you don't want to take too much credit away from them, but Sevilla Man United almost beat themselves, kind of thing. So I think that they probably are the poorest team left in it. I think you just, both Italian teams would fancy themselves against them.
Yeah, and then the other one for Roma is obviously Salah coming back.
Yeah,
to see what happens there. In terms of Juve, I think obviously. To be honest, I think Barcelona and Man City, Juventus are the strongest team. And you could even argue they're as strong as those two as well. And obviously they've got the pedigree of getting to two finals in the last three.
Yeah.
Winning everything. Allegri doesn't tend to lose knockout games until the final. Knockout games in any competition until the final as well. So is there anybody that you think Juventus would really struggle against?
Yeah, I wouldn't like to see them get Real Madrid, I think. The final last year was obviously really one-sided, but I just think Real Madrid are really fired up for it again this year. Obviously, unlike Juve, they've kind of got nothing to play for in La Liga. They're not going to win the league, and they're going to finish in the top four, which for a while maybe it looked in trouble. I'd really be wary of coming up against them, just because all their eggs are kind of in this one basket. Yeah, and Ronaldo is just, he's on fire again. So no doubt people are listening to this after the draws. Right, enjoy Real Madrid v Juve. I'm sorry, Juve, I've cursed them, but that's the one I really wouldn't like. Like Bayern Munich, I don't think, like, obviously they had a big win in the last round, but I watched a lot of them in the group stages, and I know they just sacked Ancelotti and now they have Heinkes in, but they wouldn't strike me with the fear maybe that they would in previous years. So just Real Madrid's the only one I'd kind of, and Man City obviously, that I'd want to see the two Italian sides really avoid.
There you go, right, and then down to the Europa League. Obviously, the kind of two big teams left in the competition are Atletico and Arsenal. And to be honest, I think who else you've got there? You've got Sporting, Marseille, Leipzig, and Salzburg, and CSKA Moscow. So, to be honest, I think Lazio would, maybe apart from Atletico, I fancy their chances against anybody.
Yeah. I was going to say that 100% agree. I think even against Arsenal, that Lazio attack is good enough to kind of create and score chances maybe that Milan didn't, and the defence is pretty solid. Even if they were to get Arsenal, I wouldn't hold to it. The only one is, as you said, Atletico Madrid, I think they're by far and away were the best team in it. They were just unlucky in the group stage. You know, they got a tough group, Roma and Chelsea both in it. But apart from that, yeah, hopefully the final though.
Yeah, well, I think if Lazio got a kind draw, I mean, they, you could easily see them in the semi-finals. And
yeah,
I think absolutely. As well, like we mentioned earlier, one of the big positives is Simone Inzaghi. And I think when he's on, like when he's on it, when he's got the team prepped properly for a game, they're really difficult to beat. Juventus have struggled against them. Well, they got beat off them at home, struggled against them at the Olympico. And they are by far and away the best team in Italy and one of the best in Europe. So if Lazio can mix it with them, then they can mix it with anybody.
Yeah, I think you're right. Just two kind draws, that's all they need. A kind one now and kind one in the semi-final. I think you could easily see Lazio playing in that Europa League final, just if the draws go their way.
There we go. There we go, everybody. Obviously, you probably listened to this before the draw's been made, or after, sorry, after the draw's been made. This is obviously before the draw's been made. So let us know what you think of the draw. Can Lazio get to the final regardless who they get? Let us know what you think. Were Milan a bit unlucky, or did they meet their match against Arsenal? And what about Roma? Are we going to see a Roman fairy tale with Montella and Monchi coming back? Montella and Monchi going back to their respective clubs as well. So, Podrick, thank you very much, sir. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Anytime.
And that's it. Remember, go on ForzaItalianFootball.com and do all that as well. Links everywhere, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing else left for me to say then, apart from arrivederci. All men have secrets and here is mine, so let it be known. For we have been through hell and high tide, I think I can rely on you. And yet you start to recoil, heavy words are so lightly thrown. But still I leap in front of a flying bullet for you. So what difference does it make? So what difference does it make? It makes none, but now you have gone. And you must be looking very old tonight. The devil will find work for idle hands to do. I stole and I lied, and why? Because you asked me to. But now you make me feel so ashamed, because I've only got two hands. But I'm still fond of you. Oh, oh, oh. So what difference does it make? But no more apologies.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.